Welcome to the Goddess Divine podcast. Join me as I unveil the stories of goddesses from across time and cultures. We will dive deep into the archetypes and energies that these goddesses embody, and we'll explore the practical applications of goddess wisdom in our daily lives. We'll discuss how to connect with the divine feminine through rituals, meditation, creative expression, and acts of conscious living. Whether you're a seasoned practitioner of goddess spirituality or just beginning your journey, this podcast is for you. Everyone, welcome to the Goddess Divine podcast. My name is Dina. Thank you for joining me for today's episode. I decided to write an episode on cultural appropriation. I think this is essential to tackle, given the fact that goddess spirituality, for the most part, involves engagement with other cultures across the world. And usually, I would say most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, engagement with cultures outside of your own. So I wanted to kind of talk about the politics of that and the consequences of that and be responsible. So over the past 10 to 20 years, the world has experienced a widespread resurgence in reclaiming the old ways. I'm sure that you notice that and that you want to be a part of that, or you feel a calling towards that. I personally believe that this rise is a response to a patriarchal system of religion that has and continues to operate on a global scale. Women are looking for a spirituality that contrasts these dangerous or harmful narratives about women and their roles and their connection to the divine or lack thereof. This emergence is an integral part of the paradigm shift to justice and egalitarian societies. With that said, spiritual seekers that are on this path are actively being accused of cultural appropriation, thereby impacting someone's desire or even their willingness to even engage in this type of spiritual practice. So let's discuss what cultural appropriation is. So I looked it up online, and the formal definition is it is the unacknowledged or inappropriate adoption of the customs, practice, ideas, etc. of one people or society by members of another and typically more dominant people of society. So cultural appropriation occurs when dominant groups or individuals adopt or use elements of a minority culture without genuine understanding, without respect, and without permission, which is a little hairy, right? This can, number one, lead to misrepresentation and disrespect. So we have the inappropriate use of sacred symbols, rituals, or practices that can distort their original meaning and cultural significance. This can also lead to silencing and erasure. When dominant voices appropriate practices, the voices and the agency of the originating communities can be undermined and marginalized. It can also lead to power imbalances. Cultural appropriation reinforces existing power dynamics where dominant groups benefit from marginalized cultures without giving appropriate credit or acknowledging the source. I want to give you some examples of cultural appropriation in modern spirituality. So number one, as you see and as I see and as I participate in this, I'm not going to say that I am, I'm not an active participant. But let's say number one, as an example, would be the smudge kits that we see everywhere featuring white sage and Palo Santo sold by non-Indigenous individuals. Another example would be dream catchers that are sold by non-Indigenous individuals. Yoga classes that emphasize fitness or beauty while ignoring the original Hindu spiritual philosophies. Ayahuasca retreats, which are popping up. Okay, I probably shouldn't say popping up everywhere, but I know many people who've done these, and it's becoming popularized. I can say that, but these retreats that are being hosted by non-Indigenous individuals that don't incorporate genuine sacred Indigenous practices, traditional Chinese medicine, Ayurveda, and other methods of traditional healing practiced by individuals who don't belong to the origin culture and were not trained by someone belonging to that culture. And of course, one of the most prevalent things that we see is the casual use of phrases such as shaman without acknowledgement of indigenous spiritual traditions. Another example would be this. I was doing some research to find some really great examples that would be super helpful. Imagine someone wearing a sacred bindi as a fashion accessory without really understanding its cultural significance in Hinduism. This appropriates a symbol that has deep religious meaning and reduces it to a decorative element. It's been argued that modern goddess spirituality movements can remove the deity from the original culture or epistemology into newly created narratives. Also, it's been argued that it actively takes particular goddesses out of context and revises or fabricates traditions and sacred knowledge. Some accuse New Age spirituality to consist of stripped down and repackaged indigenous North and South American traditions and customs to appeal to Western consumers. And I do agree that this has indeed occurred and it still happens. And yes, it is disrespectful and it is harmful to the original culture. And this is because, number one, the original context and the meaning, which is sacred, rich, and a powerful part of that culture's spirituality, is erased or glossed over. Individuals who belong to that culture are typically not the ones financially benefiting from the commercialization of their sacred symbols and traditions. Really, there is no cultural exchange. Rather, members of society's dominant culture are taking from cultures that have historically been oppressed without offering anything in return, and worse, you know, they are doing this while ignoring the history of oppression and harm. Let's talk about the impact on goddess spirituality here. So many aspects of goddess spirituality, particularly practices and symbols, come from diverse cultures, you know, across the world. So when not approached with respect and understanding, appropriation can have harmful consequences. Number one would be disrespecting goddesses and traditions. So trivializing sacred figures or rituals from other cultures can be disrespectful and hurtful to those who practice them. Number two, exploiting sacred knowledge. So profiting from cultural elements without fair compensation or understanding can be really exploitative, that's the word, and unethical. And then number three, fragmenting and commodifying practices. So reducing complex spiritual traditions to trendy aesthetic choices can really lead to a shallow and disconnected engagement. So when researching this topic, certain questions really began to rise within me, especially as a Black and Mexican woman who practices Hellenic polytheism. How complicated is that, right? And something we'll get into a little bit later. I can understand and agree with the arguments against cultural appropriation for indigenous and especially oppressed cultures. How does this apply to deities who were worshipped hundreds or even several thousands of years ago and are no longer at the center of modern worship for modern cultures? How does this apply, though, when working on a spiritual level with spiritual beings who happen to be deities? What happens when a goddess from another culture reaches out to you? This is something that I really questioned when even doing this work, because I see the arguments against this type of work. I see how people get very angry if you aren't, for example, because I'm not Greek, should I not practice, you know, study or practice Hellenic polytheism? Should I not work with the Greek goddess pantheon? Should I ignore them? Should I decline them and say, nope, I'm sorry. I can't work with you. I'm not allowed because, you know, the color of my skin. Now, all of this to say something really important that needs to be added to this conversation here. Many people of European and African descent have lost touch with their own ancestral rituals and spiritual practices. So much of the magic and traditions of these cultures were lost when ancient libraries were burned and when people were forced to convert to a new religion, and when populations were enslaved, and when the patriarchy repressed women from practicing rituals that were passed down through their lineage. So what happens when you yourself are a descendant of a culture whose spiritual practices were erased? Where do you look? Are you forced to only look at your race or ethnicity? Are those the boundaries? What happens when you're someone like me who was raised in Greece and you connect with those myths and with that heritage? Do I have to resign my connection to these goddesses because I myself descend from a family that consists of Black and Mexican individuals, but whose own spiritual practices are not African of Africa or fully Mexican, maybe a little bit here and there, right? What if I wasn't raised in that way? When Athena and Hera reached out to me, should I have said, nope, sorry, I'm not allowed? These are some of the pain points I came up against even when beginning to do this work. I had so many questions and I had a lot of resistance for this reason and many others, but I don't want to be accused of that. You know, it is a natural concern for me. So I did a little bit more research and I found this author. Her name is Ruth Barrett and her book is called Women's Rights, Women's Mysteries. And some of the things she has to say is interesting and I don't know if I agree with everything, but I do think that it warrants mentioning here. So I'm going to read you a quote from her. So she claims that many women of European descent don't think twice about invoking goddesses outside their own culture. They don't stop to consider issues around cultural appropriation. This lack of perspective comes from a position of privilege, however unconscious it may be. Some women seem to have an attitude that they have an inherent right to invoke any goddess from any tradition, lift her entirely out of her cultural, ethnic, or religious context, and ask her to serve their purposes. And while I know for sure that this is the case, you know, for a lot of people, I cannot say for a lot of people because I don't know how many people practice goddess spirituality, but I know that this is the case. This happens quite a bit. I think it's comical about her saying, asking the goddess to serve their purposes. You know, the phenomena of women expecting to outright be serviced by a goddess is really unrealistic. And it doesn't really happen in this way. At least this is not my experience at all. Now, please note that I am not at all rejecting the fact that people haven't tried to insert themselves into a culture of which they are neither aware and, you know, or have education about, because this happens all the time. There are many women I have met who call themselves shamans, which is a very strange case given that that's not their heritage, but you know, they're not indigenous or part of the group that they're claiming, etc. So there are complications associated with that. That happens all of the time. And that does come from a position of privilege and entitlement. I want to give you one more quote from this individual that I think is really important to mention here. So she argues that women can learn to be respectful guests around goddesses of cultures other than their own. Just as it is critical for all people to cultivate an awareness of multiculturalism, it is equally important to understand the diversity of female deities of other cultures. There is, however, a line between being a respectful guest who acknowledges other goddess forms and attempting to take over your hostess's home and asking for her to serve you. So again, this begs the question, if I'm not Greek, am I to avoid the Greek pantheon altogether? If I'm not Egyptian, Celtic, Norse, should I avoid them all? This is the question that many of us are going to struggle with when we're activating this path. And then she adds one more thing that really, in a way, to a certain extent, and I'll explain why, bothers me. She adds that we should stick to our own ethnic heritage first. And then, if we are drawn to goddesses from other cultures, you know, we should be willing to travel to study with teachers of that lineage if there's a living tradition. And if not, you know, study and learn as much as we can to relate to the goddess appropriately. So I really grapple with this as I pursue my path. My own take is that, yes, there is a big level of responsibility when we're working with other cultures that are outside of our own particular heritage, but I'm not sure about having to stick to my ethnic, you know, roots first. And then if I desire later, I'm allowed to go talk to other goddesses. So if a goddess from a culture outside your own reaches out to guide you, I'm not sure that we should just reject them given that they don't even subscribe to a lot of how we, the social, you know, constructions that we have here of race. And I just, that's a very challenging thought. And I don't agree with that. I really just don't believe that you have to reject them for the sake of protecting yourself against judgment from the people of the world. And with that said, I am fully aware that there are closed traditions that you cannot insert yourself into and must be extended an invitation to be included and to practice, right? Especially from cultures that are oppressed. If you're working on an individual basis with a goddess who has welcomed you, then you're free to work with them. It isn't necessary to reject them. And I know that this is challenging because you're probably thinking, well, what if an African goddess comes to me and I'm, you know, not Black or I'm not African American, then what am I to do? And I understand the complications of that. And that's how I feel too when I work with the goddesses that are from Hellas or from Greece. I completely understand the complexity of that situation. Now, there's a lot to be said around this. Sometimes, you know, you have to decide whether or not you are going to work individually with a goddess. The reason that they're coming to you is because they're the best teacher for you at that stage in your life to address whatever problems that you have and to guide you forward. Let's say, like for example, for me, when Hera stepped forward as my main goddess, I definitely didn't feel inclined to reject her, but I also didn't feel guilt that I wasn't Greek, but that also is, you know, different because I was raised overseas. But I understand from the outside world what that looks like. Would I be welcomed into the modern revival of Hellenic polytheism in Greece? I don't know. I don't know if I would be rejected. I don't know if I would be accepted, but what I do know is that my relationship with these goddesses is very real, and they have come to teach me for a reason, and the reasons are spiritual in nature. So that's something to think about when you're going along this path, and it is very complicated. I think sometimes when I think of cultural appropriation, I do think of women who all of a sudden wake up and they decide, you know, they are not of, you know, indigenous roots whatsoever, but they just decide they are going to be a shaman and take on this whole new indigenous name and create it and, you know, a whole new identity. I don't know. There are challenges with that for me personally, but, and I'm sure I'll be crucified for a lot of what I'm saying tonight, but to, you know, I've had this complex, these decisions, these challenging discussions, even with the goddesses themselves. You know, I am not Egyptian in nature, nor, you know, do I have that culture or ethnic background, yet I learn from an Egyptian goddess who also teaches me another facet of something I need to learn. So all of this to say is to be mindful when you're on this path. Don't assume everything is yours and don't try to redefine everything, especially for a culture. Be respectful and mindful of that culture. So a couple of things that I thought would be helpful going along this path in terms of, you know, cultural appropriation and being mindful. Number one, education and research. So before engaging with practices from other cultures, you really need to research their origins, their meanings, and their sensitivities. Seek knowledge from the practitioners within those communities if you can. I understand today that there aren't large groups of people who are worshiping, I'm just going to put it out here, like Hera or certain Greek gods. I understand that. So the community might not be available, but what you can do is research the history and how things were practiced back in the day. I think that's important. Also, I think it's important to seek permission or collaborate with communities to avoid appropriation. So when you can, and those are living traditions, try to err on the side of caution and appreciate from afar sometimes. But also, if you wish to learn, you really, for some closed traditions, you do need to be invited. If you plan to be a part of those communities actively, if you plan to worship and practice privately, that's something else entirely. Amplifying marginalized voices. So support and uplift practitioners from historically marginalized cultures to preserve their traditions and ensure that their voices are heard. I think that's important to give credit where credit is due. Okay, and then creating inclusive spaces. So If you plan to build a community later on, build communities where practitioners from diverse backgrounds can share and learn from each other with respect and mutual understanding. So partnering with indigenous communities to learn about and support their land-based practices, you know, studying under a qualified teacher from a specific tradition before incorporating elements into your practice, approach spiritual practices from cultures other than your own with awareness and deep appreciation, and of course, educate yourself. I think that that's the most important thing, is just to learn. And a couple of other lasting points here. If possible, donate to causes of cultures you're most drawn to or teach about. And if financially possible, make a point to travel to the origins of these practices where you can and study with the lineage holders if possible. Ultimately, really practicing goddess spirituality with respect and awareness means learning from these diverse traditions while remaining mindful of the potential harm that it can cause, depending on, you know, your goal or what it is you plan to do. So by prioritizing education, collaboration, and amplifying marginalized voices, we can really create a more inclusive and equitable space for celebrating the divine feminine in all of its glory. So these are really my two cents on cultural appropriation. It is a very sensitive topic for a lot of people, and I understand why, especially if you are doing this in a way that is inauthentic, disingenuous, and your intention is to commodify the culture. I understand that, but if you're on this journey with me, please know that education and research are incredibly important. Not only are you learning the history from historical teachers and historical writings, right, and the archaeological record, there's also a gnosis that is going to come directly to you from the goddess realm. This is something called unverified personal gnosis, and I'm going to do a whole episode on this because there are things that you are going to be taught from the goddesses, and it may not be written about anywhere, right? So you also have this other line of learning, this other education that's going to be a personal education directly from them. That might not be the same across the board. Everybody's experience with a goddess is relative. It's very different. But we're working on a spiritual level here. All right, everybody. I really hope that this was super helpful and it was super insightful. And as we continue this work together, we'll tackle some other complicated topics as well. But I think that in order for us to do this work respectfully and mindfully, it has to be holistic in nature and as comprehensive as possible. Everyone, please have a good rest of your week. And whatever you do, take care of yourselves.